Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Pastor Dave is a guy that has, I don't know of anyone that has a bigger heart for the local church and for ministry and for missions like this guy. And so I know he's going to come challenge us. Pastor Dave, would you come and challenge us on Finishes Strong? Would you make him feel welcome this morning? Amen. Love you, brother. Thanks for being here.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout for that report. Woo-hoo! Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, that is just absolutely incredible. But don't be shocked by this. Even if you had no good report today, he was going to have double dessert. Last night we went out to eat and we got a little sample of ice cream at Dave's, and he was a little sour at me because I didn't get a whole one with him, but we stayed long, so you can have double dessert today. Wow, what a great report. What a wonderful family that God has given you to serve. You probably got the best pastors in the whole world right here. Would you say amen? Come on. You really have. They're just lovely, wonderful people that love the Lord. I've watched them grow. They're incredible people of God. They're real people. You know, I'll say this in certain places. I don't say it everywhere. You know, in the Assemblies of God, we got a lot of pastors. We got a lot of preachers, but we don't have a lot of pastors. I've traveled across this nation many, many times, and I can probably say less than on both hands, I would say this is a guy you can really trust. You got a man of God here that you can really trust. You want to make him happy? Really just love God. Love the lost around your community and love the lost around the world, and let him play golf every once in a while, you know? He'll be all right there. But praise God for what a wonderful report, what God is doing in this church. I believe with all my heart what you do for the world and for the lost, that you can never do enough, because God will open the windows of heaven and bless you in all kinds of ways. Now, some of you are wondering, you know, where is he from? Alabama. Forgive me for that. You know, sometimes when I go up north and I start speaking and they introduce me as a mission speaker, you can see it on their face. What country is he from? Albania, Algeria, no, Alabama, the Roll Tide country. Everybody hate me at one time right now. I mean, but you know, I love to tell the story about going up to Duluth, Minnesota. 20 below zero when I got out of the airplane. I kept wondering, Greg, why anybody would come hear me at 20 below zero. When they heard me, they wondered why they came. Little girl in the service come up to me and she said, "Brother Rayleigh, you talk really funny." And I'm thinking, and you don't. I love being in Arkansas. You know, the thing that's best about being in Arkansas, you don't have to have reservations at a restaurant. All you have to do is turn into the next gas station. All things fried, would you say amen? I stop a lot in Arkansas. I love Arkansas, and I love you. Thank you for what you do again. You got your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 35. Pastor gave me the assignment of talk of finishing strong. You know, nothing says finishing strong more than the harvest time. Harvest time is the result of all the work that we've done, all the efforts that we have made, all the expenses that we have applied. It is at that moment that we have to do our very best to get it in, or it will be lost. Matthew 9, verse 35. There's a passage that struck my heart lately, and it says something like this. And before I say this, it is good to have my wife here this morning. She doesn't travel with me a lot. She and I have been married 46 years. Amen. She's my Cinderella, and the shoe still fits, but I'm so glad you're here today. And please forgive me for that, but I've got to say thank you for her being here. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest." Matthew 13:39, there's a passage that says it this way. The harvest is at the end of the age. I want to tell you some things today that will probably help you to see that we are at the end of the age. Jesus said, that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in every nation of the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Well, I can tell you, we are seeing things happen today that we've never seen happen in our lifetime. It's an amazing time to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Incredible things are happening. When I read this passage, it gripped my mind how that Jesus was focused on those that were hurting and hopeless and feeling down and dejected. And he also noticed his disciples. His disciples were scurrying around, making sure things were done, business was taken care of, donkeys were in place, boats were in place, food was there. They were busy with the mechanics of ministry. And I couldn't help but think how sometimes in ministry we get so caught up with the mechanics of ministry that we fail to realize that it's about the men that God is concerned about. I thought about so many of the events that we've been a part of through the years of youth conventions in Alabama, where we'd have 6,000 people there, or national youth conventions where we'd have 10 and 12,000. A lot of people only see what happens on the stage. They don't see what's happened underneath, what's happened before we got there, all the planning, all the working. We only see the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of people that make it work. And it's easy to get so involved in the mechanics of ministry that you fail to realize that it is not just putting it together, it's about who we are to touch and reach. And I almost can see his disciples scurrying around, walking past people, failing to see the hurting, walking over those that were crippled. And Jesus, I can see him as he probably, in my mind's eye, and I got an imagination, he just says, "Whoa, stop, guys, look here. The harvest is plentiful. Right here where we're at, there is a harvest that we need to see. And I want you to focus on them right now." And I couldn't help but think, why do we do that? Maybe sometimes we're so focused on our own feet that we don't see anybody. You know, when we go on mission trips, we always tell young people to look down at their feet, because you can step in a hole or step in something that would embarrass you. But sometimes in life, we get so focused on our own feet that we don't see anybody else. You know, our troubles, our marriage, our children, our parents, our finances, our job, our troubles. And we get so focused on what is going on in our life that we don't see anybody else's life out there. The best way to get over the trouble that you're going through is to look up from your own feet and look at somebody else. Maybe it was because they were fixated on their own family or fellowship. You know, we're part of the Assemblies of God, and I love the Assemblies of God. They're wonderful. They're incredible. Well, we don't live by our labels in the Assemblies of God. In fact, I like to say, Pat hates for me to say it, if you live by a label, if you go to heaven, it will fall off. If you don't make it to heaven, well, it'll burn off. Labels don't matter. Amen? But sometimes we get so fixated on one another and our fellowship and what we're doing, where we're going, and how happy we are, we fail to realize that there's a lot of wonderful people in the kingdom of God, Baptists and Independents and Methodists, and wonderful people that don't think like us or do like us or act like us. You know, I like to say this, and I believe it. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm Assembly of God, and that just means I worship the Lord a certain way. No, really, there's no Assembly of God church that worships the same way. I like to say that we're all dysfunctional. Just some of us are more dysfunctional than others. Amen? You know, it really doesn't matter. So Jesus wanted them to focus on others. I want to talk about us finishing strong, but I want to give two observations and one objective today. I want to talk about an analogy, maybe looking at what we're doing according to what farming does, about getting the harvest in and putting it in the barn. I want to talk about what's in the barn. I want to talk about what's still in the field. And I want to also, as an objective, say, can we get back to it? And can we do the best we can till we get out of this thing? Would somebody say amen? You know, when I look at what is happening in the successful reaping of the harvest, I have the opportunity to rub shoulders with those that are harvesters, that are out in the field, that are asking for help and asking for resources and finances. And I'll be honest with you, there are so many amazing things happening that it is overwhelming at sometimes. There are people that can be reached today if the missionary has the resources, if the organization has the funds. Today is the greatest day of the harvest of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Christianity today is the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth? Did you know that today that the Church of Jesus Christ is over 1.5 billion, would it be, people around the globe today? Would somebody say amen? And don't get messed up with this, but there are over 43,000 denominations worldwide around the world. Now you say, why so many denominations? They're just tools that God uses and people use to do what God has called them to do. Denominations are not important. They're just a tool. Did you know that the Bible today, the Bible is in the billions of Bibles that are available around the world, and they are in thousands of languages today? Did you know that the Bible is the most popular resource that has ever been printed in the world today? Would somebody say amen? When you talk about missions, James Davis said it's no longer missions that we talk, the mission field. We call it a mission force that is happening. You say, why do you say that, Dave? Because in many regions of the globe, the size of the global church is growing faster than populations around the world. In some places, in some countries in Africa, on the continent of Africa, there are more people being born again than are being born in those countries. Now think about that. The church is growing and moving. Christians are so geographically widespread today that there's no single continent that can independently or undisputably claim that they are the center for global Christianity. We can no longer say we are the largest. We can say we are the third largest unreached people group in America. Somebody said, God help us. Over the past century, places like Africa. Africa has had such stunning growth. And they tell us in 1900, there are 8.7 Christians in Africa. Today in Africa, there are 350 million Christians in Africa. And they say that in the next 6 to 7 years, there will be over 670 million Christians in Africa. God is doing something there that is unbelievable. Christianity today is growing faster than the populations of India and China put together. Oh, you say, what's going on? Well, places like China, 45,000 people will come to Christ every day in China that goes by. Did you know there are more Christians in China today than there are card-carrying communists in that country? It's amazing what God is doing. There's over 100 million Christians running around in communist China today. Chairman Mao made a statement one time. He said, one day the Bible is going to be relegated to our museums, and the church is going to be relegated to our history books. Well, he's dead, and we put over 3 million fire Bibles in China. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Places like communist Cuba. Today in communist Cuba, over 12,000 churches and preaching points. How is that significant? In America, we got 13,500 churches in the Assemblies of God. But in the tiny Soviet socialist island, 12,000 churches and preaching points. Pastors make a lot of money there. They make about $15 to $20 a month. But are they discouraged? No. They feel like God wants them to send the gospel all over the world. And we have helped to equip them. And they're now sending missionaries around the world. Somebody say amen. In Latin America, every hour that goes by, 1,400 people are coming into the kingdom of God. The church is doing some marvelous things. Now, we're part of the Assemblies of God. We started here in Arkansas. I can be honest with you, where we started in Hot Springs, it's not a very popular place. It's not a very big place. I'll be honest, sometimes I think God has to have a GPS to find Hot Springs, Arkansas, but God found it. And God started a church there in Hot Springs, Arkansas, with 300 representatives that today is not laughed at as a small church. Today, the Assemblies of God is over 70 million people around the globe that call themselves Assemblies of God. If we could count people in countries that we can't, can't count them, we would double that amount overnight. Would somebody say amen? There's a new believer added in the Assemblies of God every 41 seconds. There's a brand new church that starts in the Assemblies of God every 137 minutes. Every 100 minutes, there's a brand new minister preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God is in more countries than the United Nations are in. Today, in some countries, the biggest thing there is Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and the Assemblies of God. And I like all three of them. Come on, somebody. Amen. You say, well, what's caused this growth? Well, we're Holy Spirit people. We believe that if we will live by the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to help us, He will empower us to do the work of the kingdom. And we don't do it by our might, but by His might. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So we are committed to God helping us. But also we are committed to sending missionaries around the globe and even right here in the United States in Arkansas. We send missionaries and they go do all kinds of things. They preach and teach, start businesses. I had a missionary in Burma that I was with a few years ago. And I asked, I said, Joel, what do you do here? He said, well, I help translate the Global University books into their language here, but I also run a coffee shop. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't wait to get back on the field and tell folks we got missionaries running coffee shops. But what I found was that in the coffee shop, he teaches English on this upstairs part, and they use the Bible for the curriculum, and people are coming to the Lord while they're learning English. Somebody say amen. Amazing things that our missionaries do. But what is cool about the Assemblies of God, we don't only send missionaries, we equip them. You heard the stories this morning about BGMC. You know, those little kids, they run around with them buddy barrels, those little yellow barrels, and they shake them in front of your face, and they turn grandmas and grandpas into human ATM machines. You get millions of dollars through those little kids to help missionaries around the world. Speed the Light. Well, your youth pastor here, we're trying to raise $10,000. This church and Greg and others like you have raised millions of dollars. Speed the Light provides communication and transportation equipment for missionaries. From airplanes to boats, donkeys and horses and camels and bicycles. In fact, one place we bought a missionary a yak. Not going to do that anymore. That missionary had a snowstorm and they barbecued our Speed the Light equipment. I think that missionary was from Alabama because we will barbecue anything. But isn't it cool that we can say that the first car that a young person buys is not for themselves, but it's for a missionary to preach the gospel around the world. Then Light for the Lost. Light for the Lost providing penny tracts and Bibles. The Fire Bible would not exist. The Fire Bible actually started from a missionary out of Oklahoma who was from Kansas. But the Fire Bible's really big push was from Arkansas. When your former superintendent and a few others dreamed the dream of putting 3 million fire Bibles in China, somebody said it's impossible. Impossible is where God exists today. Amen. And over 54 different translations of the Fire Bible today. It is the most used study Bible in the world today. It is amazingly touching people around the world. There's some friends of ours in Albania today who had just opened a Fire Bible there in Italy. It's amazing what the Fire Bible does. I love the story that came out of Germany, where there were some folks passing out some books of John that came from Light for the Lost, and there was a Muslim fella that got the book, and he looked at it, went to his room, and told his roommate, said, threw it on the bed, said, can you believe these Christians would give me some of their Bible stuff? Well, what he did not know was that his Muslim roommate the night before had got the same piece of literature and read it, and God gripped his heart, and he gave his heart to Jesus. He looked at his roommate. He said, well, you might ought to read it. And so he read it, and God got a hold of him, and he gave his heart to Jesus. He went from there to Turkey and became a contact for the Assemblies of God and helped us to develop the Arabic Fire Bible. He went from there to Iran and helped us develop, I believe it was the Urdu or the Farsi Fire Bible. And I read that story. I couldn't help but think, God has a sense of humor to take a Muslim off the street, fill him with the Holy Spirit, and send him around the world to start Bibles. Would you say amen? Glory to God. But Life of the Lost is doing that and continues to do that. It's just absolutely amazing. I would love to tell you some more stories. There's things happening that there's one country. I'll say there's one Muslim country today that every mosque in that country has a Bible study going on. And there's over 20,000 Bible studies going on in all these mosques around that country. And even some of the imams are coming to Christ. Would somebody say amen? Don't be concerned that God is afraid of Islam today. He was not afraid of communism. He was not afraid of Hinduism. He was not afraid of Buddhism. And he's not afraid of Islam. There have been more Muslims come to Christ in the last 15 years than the previous 1,300 years. God is moving in the Muslim world, and the gospel is breaking the fetters. Would you say amen? I would love to tell you more about what Network 211 is doing and what Global University is doing and what the Assemblies of God is doing in so many places. But I want to, that basically is a small amount of what's in the barn. We got a reason to rejoice. You got your little deals there? Shake them a little bit. We got a reason to rejoice about what's in the barn. There's something in the barn today. But let me move on. Let me talk about the sad reality of the harvest. It's not what's in the barn, it's what's still in the field. You see, while there's been great things happening and are going to continue to happening, there is still more to be done. This is not a time for us to rest, it's a time for us to return. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, I think it was Lauren Triplett that said it this way, he said, you don't measure yourself by the success but by the unfinished task. Philip Hogan said it this way. He said, we can't boast about the grain in the silos as long as there is still a harvest waiting in the field. While all these things are happening and will continue to happen, Islam is still growing fast. The church of our globe the lost of our globe is outpacing the found of our globe. The communities without a church today is outpacing the communities with a church. The churches we have are outpacing the trained workers to lead them. One of the greatest needs today in the harvest is trained workers. If we don't have trained workers, things get mired and messed up. The truth is there are more dying without Christ than there are those who are dying in Christ. There are thousands of people groups who have no idea about who the name of Jesus is or how much he loves them. David Ellis said it this way. He said, the potential harvest outstrips the available missionaries we have for the harvest today. Right now, the Assemblies of God needs 300 more missionaries. And if you feel a call, if God's unsettling your nest, maybe God's calling you to the mission field. There is a place for you somewhere around the world to carry the gospel. 40% of our world does not have a near neighbor witness. Nobody near them that knows anybody or anything about Jesus Christ. Your missionary, Ron Maddox, said this. He said, China has the largest block of Christians and the largest block of lost people in the world today. Latin America, with 1,400 people an hour coming to the Lord, Latin America is still 84% spiritually lost. 5 out of 6 people are lost in Latin America. Europe is 97% spiritually lost. Asia still has 95% that are spiritually lost. Northern Asia has 91% spiritually lost. Eurasia has 4,000 people groups who have not been touched with the gospel yet. They are 99.4% spiritually lost. Africa, with all the advances that we're making in Africa, there are 700 people groups in Africa that have no near witness of Jesus Christ. India, with 1 billion, 200 or 300 million people that live there, they have 4,600 different people groups and 1,600 different languages. I read this and it broke my heart. There is more human need in India today than anywhere in the world. They have the highest number of poor. They have roughly 20 million orphans. They have 40% of their population that's malnourished. They have the largest slave population of the world today. They have roughly 900,000 people that die with malnourishment or unclean water every day, but every year. But listen to me. The greatest need in India today is not those things. 95% of the Indian population have never had a near witness of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I don't care what anybody else says. I believe what Jesus said. We can get the gospel to everybody in the world. Would you say amen? And the places that are open can close to us. Burma was closed to us. It was called Myanmar now. It was closed to us. They kicked every one of our missionaries out by constitutional mandate. And for 50 years, we were not allowed in there. When we got back in there, we found the church had not died. You can kick us out, but you can't kick the Holy Spirit out. And we found that the church had thrived, over 100,000 believers, over 1,000 Assembly of God churches, thriving and doing what God called them to do. But doors that open today can close tomorrow. Afghanistan at one time had a church in every province. Today there's no church in any province in Afghanistan. The church in Iraq today, that was very strong at one time. The church in Iraq has been decimated by so many awful, ugly things. What I'm saying today, we must turn and look back. Those are the observations. We must look at what God has done, and we must look at what is left to be done. And lastly, let me say about the sobering responsibility of the harvesters. It's time we get out of the barns. And we get back to the fields and we finish strong with this thing. You know, we're coming to the end of the year and God has blessed us in so many ways. In Proverbs 10:5, he says it this way. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. You see, it would be a shame for us to get this far and not to get across the finishing line. To fail to realize that every day, there's 132 jumbo jets of 500 plus people that crash into the earth and die that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Over 66,000 people a day die. Every second, two people die. And of those two people, one of those has never heard about Jesus Christ at any time in their life. 3 billion people in the world today who have no near witness of the Jesus that we serve today. It's harvest time. We got to do everything we can to get the harvest in and to get back in. You see, in the church, we say this often. One minister up in Minnesota made this statement. We only got three choices when it comes to the harvest. That's either to go or to give or to disobey. And this is a church that has chosen to give and to send missionaries around the world. What you have done already is amazing. But friend, what you have done already is not to be compared to what God is going to do through you. Did you hear me? God is not done with the assembly. He is just beginning. Because as you see the harvest, as you see what God can do, and as you continue to invest in the harvest, God is going to invest in you, and you're going to explode right here in Cabot, Arkansas. Do you believe that? You can't grab hands with God and Him not abundantly bless you beyond everything you could ever think or ask. It is not in your heart or mind what God is going to do through you. So when you finish strong, you cannot believe what is going to happen. I was in Idaho. I'm going to close with this. But I was in Idaho, and a preacher friend of mine, he said, I'll tell you a story. He said, you know, in Idaho, they got these sections and sections of lands that they plant. Unbelievable. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of acres. It's amazing what they do there. They got these big combines to get their fields in. And David, I was preaching about the harvest and all the things that come to harvest about planting and plowing and preparation and insecticides and weed killing and all the stuff that I taught. And then I got to harvest and I said, harvest is the easiest part of all of it. Well, when I got done preaching, one of my farmers came up to me and he said, Pastor, I love you, but what you said about the harvest is absolutely not true. He said, the harvest is not the easiest of it all. The harvest is the most hectic of it all. He said, Pastor, let me tell you something. He said at harvest time, we gotta make sure that we got everything in place, because all of the investment, all the money we spent, all the workers we've hired, all the tools that we got, everything is dependent on us having a good harvest. He said at harvest time, anything could happen. The bugs could eat your crop up. He said you could get your crop in too early and it's no good. You could get it in too late and it's no good as well. He said at harvest time, we have to have the best workers we can find. Because at harvest time, if we don't have the best workers, we're in trouble. They've got to be the best skilled. They've got to be the hardest workers. They got to realize there's no time off. They don't take any vacations at harvest time. They start early in the morning. They work till late at night. They are the hardest workers in the world. And so we got to have the best workers. Not only that, those big combines we have out there, they're not toys. They're tools. They cost us multiplied thousands of dollars. Those combines have got to be the best tools. They got to be serviced just right. And they will run daylight and dark 24 hours a day. And they will run till they just nearly run out of gas. We'll stop them to refuel them and re-put somebody in the seat. And they'll just keep going. And we'll do this until the harvest is done. And if the reason we have to do that is that if we lose the harvest, we have messed up everything. He said, if we lose the harvest, what we have done is we've lost the ability to pay for those tractors. And if we lose the harvest, we have lost the ability to pay for those workers. And if we lose the harvest, we have lost the ability to pay for the seed, because we borrowed the money from the bank to pay for the seed. And if we lose the money to pay the bank back, we will lose the farm. And if we lose the farm, we haven't lost our farm. We've lost our daddy's farm and our granddaddy's farm, because these farms we didn't buy. They were handed down to us. They were worked for and it's paid for by our forefathers, and they paid a price for those. And if we lose the harvest, we lose everything that we have done and everything our forefathers have done to bring the harvest to this day. I couldn't help but think about us. In the Assemblies of God, when we started sending missionaries, we didn't send missionaries overseas with Samsonite's luggage. Many of them packed caskets because they did not plan to come back. Many of our missionaries went to places that were cold and hard and difficult. In fact, we had an Arkansas missionary, Brother Tucker, that lost his life on the mission field. If we lose the harvest and we don't finish strong with what God has given us, then we lose everything that has been given to us through them. God has waited on the greatest generation of harvesters, you and I, to bring the greatest harvest into the kingdom of God. He's wrapping this thing up. He's bringing this thing down to an end. The curtain is about to come down. The show is just about over. You may be planning for retirement, but you better be planning for heaven, because Jesus is coming back to get his church, and a church that is looking for him and that is reaching the lost. If we lose the harvest, we have failed everything. But you know what? We're that group that says, no, sir, we're not sitting down. We're not going to stop. We're not going to sit on the sideline. We're not going to quit. We're not looking for easy. We're looking for what God wants us to do. And it may be the 18 people that are here to say, yes, I'm ready to volunteer at the church. It may be somebody here says, I want to do the very best I got. Got a little money I was going to put somewhere, but God's going to use this money. Listen, let me tell you something. When you made a faith promise to God at the first of the year, you had no idea how that's going to happen. I know where you're at. I live there. Pat and I have nearly $900 a month that comes out of our credit card every month. The good thing about credit card, they'll just keep taking it. And it goes to missionaries. But do you know every month God finds a way to help us pay those? We make faith promises. Lord, we made a $5,000 faith promise for Cuba Bible School, and then we made another $1,000 faith promise for Upper Room Ministry, and we made another $1,000 faith promise to rescuing little girls, and made another $500 to Arkansas Compact. You know, Jay Mooney, he twists your arm. He gets that money. We didn't have the money, but we were, you know, sometimes it's better to pledge than give. But we wrote that down believing. Last week, I went to a church, and boy, they overpaid me. I think they paid me $200 for preaching on Sunday. Hallelujah. I got back from Oregon. But do you know, there were two people
that paid every one, gave me the money to pay every one of my faith promises for this last year. You don't know what God's going to do through you, but God will if you'll give him a chance. Father, we love you as Pastor Greg comes. Thank you for the opportunity to finish strong Amen. With the kingdom.
Amen. So we've celebrated what God's doing locally and worldwide. We've also highlighted what we lack to do. And this morning, just put your mind at ease. I'm not going to ask you to sign a commitment card or a pledge form this morning. I'm asking you to finish strong. What God started in our church, let's finish strong this year. I know some of you have already completed your goal for giving this year, for serving this year. I say thank you for that, but let's continue giving. Let's continue serving. Maybe you started attending the assembly since February and you hear us talk about our vision and you've heard this morning some of the things we're trying to do for the Lord. Listen, we want you, we need you to be part of the vision of serving and giving and living, to be a catalyst of spiritual transformation here at home. Let's finish strong.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.